Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon and welcome to the Blimpy Subs Franchise Show podcast. Happy Monday to everybody out there. Very excited to have you today. As you guys know, we're doing a series of monthly podcasts where we have on Blimpy Kahala executives, the people who are responsible for keeping the brand protected and helping to equip franchisees with what they need to have to be successful at the corporate headquarters in Arizona, bringing on area developers who are sort of the representatives in the local markets who act as an extension of the corporate office in Kahala to try to help franchisees do what they do better and help potential franchisees find the right locations and get equipped with all the right processes and products so they can bring freshly sliced subs to the community. However, today is particularly special and the first time we're doing this, where we're going to actually have on a franchise owner to talk what it's like to be a Blimpy Subs franchise owner and discuss why it's important and why it's been so successful to be selling freshly sliced subs in his market. This owner's name is Bobby Cavillo. He is a franchise owner in Weslaco, I think I got that right this time, Texas, suburb just outside of San Antonio down there in South Texas. And he's got some fascinating things to share with us as someone who is a social enterprise business owner. So what that means is the profits and the revenues he generates from his Blimpy location down there in South Texas are benefiting a nonprofit, which is called the Affordable Homes of South Texas, an organization that he has been affiliated with for quite some time, and I'll let him dig into that. Very fascinating stuff. So for those of you out there who are aspiring business owners or current business owners and want to know if there's a way that you can own a business really for a higher purpose, so not just donating some funds to a charity or volunteering your time, which are all noble efforts, but if you want to take that to the next level and create a business for the sole purpose of making it a social enterprise effort, then this is certainly the podcast for you, and we're excited to have Bobby. A couple more things before we invite him on and have a fun conversation. As all our listeners know, please feel free to track this show and all of our other shows at the Blimpy Subs Franchise Show podcast on Blog Talk Radio. That's blogtalkradio.com/Blimpy Subs Franchise Show. And a wonderful announcement today, big announcement today. Stay tuned as we will be revealing a brand new franchise opportunity specific website at the URL blimpyfranchise.com, which will have a franchise opportunities blog that would be filled with these podcasts, blog posts, articles, and other materials custom built to help aspiring franchisees, aspiring entrepreneurs make a smart decision on franchising. And of course, all the information you would need to fully explore and do your due diligence on the Blimpy Subs franchise model, sharing information and insights and testimonials and other great stuff from our 50 plus years in business. So please pay attention to that. And in the next week or so, check out blimpyfranchise.com and we'll have a lot to share with you. But without further ado, I do want to bring on the line Bobby Cavillo, the man responsible for this social enterprise concept down there in Weslaco, using the Blimpy Subs franchise location to help Affordable Homes of South Texas help cash-strapped locals in that area find and finance homes for their families. Great stuff. Bobby, look, thank you very much for stopping by the show. We're looking forward to having you. Thanks for stopping by.
Good. Thanks for having me.
Sure, no problem. So tell us a bit more about this. So, I mean, I have a good understanding of your background and what this social enterprise model does, as we've been working together for quite some time. But our listeners out there, they are aspiring franchise owners, people who were in your spot at one time looking at potential business models to own. So I guess tell us your story a little bit. Tell us about your background and what Affordable Homes of South Texas is.
Okay, sure. So I've had two professional jobs in my career. One was for 14 years I was a banker, and then for the last 20 years I've been a nonprofit executive director for Affordable Homes of South Texas. So two basic jobs I've had. Both are somewhat related. You still got financing, and I'll get into what Affordable Homes does, but it essentially is the same thing. So Affordable Homes is a 501c3 nonprofit. We are celebrating our 40th anniversary this year, so it's been around for a long time.
Congratulations.
And what we do, thanks. It's a great organization. Essentially, what we do in a nutshell is we're a subdivision developer, a builder, and a mortgage company exclusively for low-income families in our area in South Texas. So low-income families that can't afford a home through the private market, they'll come to us, and we'll build them a house, make them the loan, and they pay us over the next 30 years. So think about a home builder, a mortgage company, and that's basically what we are, exclusively for low-income families. And to put it in perspective, we have total assets of about $80 million. Our loan portfolio is about $50 million. We employ maybe 60 to 70 people, and we have about 300 families a month coming to us for assistance. So it's a good size organization, very very well run. We've got a great team of folks. And about 3 years ago, we have a branch office. My office is in McAllen, but our branch office is in Weslaco, which is about 20 miles away. And we had we own the building that our office is in, and we had some tenants, and the tenants essentially moved out. I needed to figure out what we were going to do with that space. And so as I was visiting the space once they vacated, I turned the corner and identified that there was a nursing school around the corner from our office. And the nursing school has 400 students. They all go to lunch at the same time. So as I was leaving, there was this mass exodus from the parking lot of all these students going to lunch. If you drive around, there are no healthy food options in the downtown area other than a fried chicken place and a pizza place. And So, you know, the thought is, well, they're nursing students. Theoretically, they want to eat somewhat healthy. And So being a good stalker, I followed a couple of them. And they all wound up going to a Subway shop about a mile and a half away.
Yep.
And so I said, well, I haven't eaten lunch. Let me go. And so I got to talking to a few of them, and I said, if we were to open a store, something similar around the corner, what do you think? And they were just like, oh, this is great. We wouldn't have to go anywhere. We could go eat lunch and get back into class and start preparing. And so that's where kind of where the idea started. And you know, almost three years later, it's worked out great. They're the core of our customer base.
Got it. No, that's fantastic. That's excellent research, and that is certainly something that you know, I would recommend, or anyone who is helping to advise a prospective franchisee or business owner in their effort to find the right model for them or the right opportunity for them. Digging deep and doing that type of research, spying or not, is a very smart move to determine if there is a need, if there is a viable marketplace there for you, and then what your competitors are doing. So that was a very smart move on your part to, you know, do your due diligence in that respect and talk to people and figure out if there's a need and a demand for the types of products you can bring there with a Blimpie or another franchise opportunity you're exploring. So tell us that. So talk us through, I guess, your philosophy there, your process there. I mean, you obviously have your hands full running a fantastic organization like Affordable Homes of South Texas. You know, you're obviously a finance and numbers guy. And was your decision to look into business ownership fueled by, you know, Affordable Homes of South Texas needing additional revenue streams? What was your, I guess, what motivated you to even consider launching this type of business model whose profits are, you know, going toward Affordable Homes of South Texas?
Sure. Well, you know, it's interesting. Maybe around the same time that we looked at the Blimpie franchise, we had created a couple of other entities with the social enterprise concept in mind. So, for example, we have a construction company. You know, we're already building homes, but we were building homes only for low-income families. Well, what about those families that are just above what would be considered, according to the HUD definition, were not low-income? And so we were sending them out to the private market. They weren't able to get assistance. So we created this entity to help those families that are still looking for a house but aren't able to find something affordable in the marketplace. So it's a for-profit construction company. We have a for-profit real estate company, and we've created a couple of other entities since then. So the structure was already in place or getting in place. When we talked about the Blimpy, it was a little different structure because we were looking at, in the other entities, providing a service utilizing existing resources and hopefully generating some revenue. And the whole reason for the generating of the revenue, let me give you just one quick example.
Sure.
We're dependent on federal grants primarily, and we all know what the federal budgets are doing these days. They're not getting any bigger. They're getting smaller.
Sure.
And so as an example, our county government 1 year had given us $1 million as a grant to go build houses. Sounds like a lot of money. The reality of it is it's a drop in the bucket for what the need is. So they gave us $1 million. It was great. We were able to use it and help some families. The next year, they said, well, because of budget cuts, that $1 million is not going to go to the amount of $100,000. So it was a $900,000 drop from 1 year to the next. And the amount of the amount of request for assistance increased. So what are we going to do? So all of these crazy ideas, as I call them, was basically driven out of necessity. How are we going to make up for the loss in revenue that we're seeing and we're going to continue to see for a long time?
Sure.
So the whole idea for these was hopefully to generate some revenue. I think we're just starting the initiative on a bigger scale. So I think we're starting to see some of those returns coming in already.
Awesome. I guess let's dig a little deeper there. So, you begin your exploration of an additional revenue stream to combat the shrinking government mandated or government supported, funds you guys, for lack of a better term, banked on each year.
Right. Right.
So why Blimpy and why a franchise model to support? I mean, obviously you did your, research and thought about a food brand and you had that direct face-to-face customer research to determine there was a need for a sandwich shop. But I guess even before that, when you're thinking about ways to accomplish this, ways to generate more revenue, why a franchise and why Blimpy?
Well, those are good questions. And really, I don't know anything about running a restaurant or a quick service restaurant or anything similar to that, other
right.
than I financed a couple of them during my banking days. And as a banker, you know that those are very risky ventures. So my first reaction was, well, there's no way. We don't know what we're doing. Fortunately for us, the franchise structure provides that support. You don't need to know all the details because you have this corporate structure that'll help you and guide you through that process. And so why Blimpy specifically? Very quickly, we went in my research. I contacted three different companies. One was Subway, of course, because they're the big guys and everybody knows them.
Sure.
Secondly was Blimpy, and the third one was Jimmy John's. I knew I wanted a sandwich shop. I just didn't know who. So it was really pretty simple. Subway, when I called, they sent me to an 800 number, and I got transferred five times. And when I finally got to talk to somebody, I said I work for a nonprofit, and essentially the conversation ended. They couldn't understand the structure.
Okay.
And not talking bad about them at all, but I think they were just they didn't get it. Jimmy John's, they weren't in the market yet. They weren't ready to come down this far, I guess, and they really just kind of didn't support the idea very well. The third one, obviously, was Blimpy, and I'll tell you right away that my area developer contacted me immediately. It was very supportive from day one, came down, looked at the place, drove around, did his own research, and was basically holding my hand through the entire process. It wasn't a quick process because there's a lot of legal things and structures that need to occur, especially when you're dealing with a nonprofit. But it was a great move because I think while they certainly aren't perfect, Blimpy is certainly not perfect, the structure that they provided and the support has been great. And I'm glad for that, because I don't know anything about a meat slicer or, you know, how to shred lettuce and stuff like that. So it's been a great help.
Talk to us about the impact an area developer can have. I mean, you're speaking to, so you determine that you're going to get a sandwich shop. You had your choices narrowed down, and Blimpie seemed receptive on the on the national level and speaking with their franchise development folks. But I guess, what type of a difference did you see immediately with your area developer? And I guess, tell us more about him and his role in bringing this to fruition.
Well, like I said, I think the difference was obvious from the very first phone call. Alan Kreitz, who's our area developer, was here as soon as I was ready to have him.
Yep.
And he suggested several things on what I should do. In fact, when we were opening, he was actually walking around downtown, visiting stores and handing out coupons and talking to people. I mean, it was like he worked for me. So it was great, and I think that's the kind of thing that I needed, especially at that time. How do I get this started? What do I need to do? Who do I talk to get the POS system set up? And what
right.
about the design and that kind of stuff? He guided me through all of the different areas within Blimpie and Kahala to get me to what I needed.
Awesome. Let's take it a step further. So, you know, he helps you get your feet underneath you and get the location started. How about now, or how about after you were started? What did you guys do to? I mean, are you using? Are you using the social enterprise model? Or are you using the fact that you guys are in existence largely to support a local organization doing great things? Is that something that you lead with? Is that something that, you encourage your managers and employees to share with customers to showcase, the type of business you have? Or are there other ways that you are sort of sharing your story and encouraging people to come to your store? Or is that sort of what you guys lead with and how you showcase to your local residents that if they buy subs from you and they are a loyal customer of you, that they're donating to a bigger cause?
Yeah, no, absolutely. And that's what I think is part of the attraction within the community. You know, Weslaco is not a big city. It's a small town, 45,000 population.
Yep.
But it is a close-knit community, and everybody knows everybody else. And so within the community, the first thing that we did was we came up with a tagline. So our local advertising that we do and the little promotions that we do, everything has our logo on it. And at the bottom of the logo, the tagline says, "Great food for a great cause." So everything that we do revolves around that tagline, because as we've told people, if you want to give back to the community and have a great lunch, here's a place to go.
Mm-hmm.
And so we actually have catering clients that came to us and said, your prices are essentially the same as the other guys, but what made the difference was this is a way for us to give back to the community, because we know that whatever profits you make are going to go help somebody, one of our neighbors. And so it's been a great opportunity for us to not only generate a little bit of revenue, but also get the word out about the nonprofit. And so, in fact, we have posters in the store and table toppers that we'll switch out occasionally to talk about the various products and services that we provide. For example, right now, we provide free income tax preparation services for low-income families. And so that's on one of the table toppers in the store. And so we've had several people that said, "Wow, I didn't know you provided free income tax service. I'm going to go next door and get my taxes done." So it's been a great way to share and cross-sell, so to speak.
No, that's fantastic. How well has it worked? Is it helping you guys cover up the void left by, what the government is not giving you these days? Is it helping you get more families in homes? How much of an impact has the Wimpy store had so far?
Well, I think we're still early in the process, so we're not seeing huge revenue. That $900,000, for example, it'll take us a while to make up for that. And we're only a couple of years into this, the whole venture. So we knew going in that this was not going to be the overnight answer. This is more of, it's a marathon, not a sprint.
Sure.
And so we're getting there, and I think that's the important thing. We've got the potential to make up for some of that lost revenue. The other thing is, I think it shows our funders on the nonprofit side, say, hey, we're trying to do everything we can to support the community. We're even trying to generate our own revenue. So give us a little bit, help us out. And so
right.
It's helped us with our grant writing experience as well.
Oh, fantastic. Tell us, I guess we really haven't dug into this too deeply. I mean, I think our listeners would be interested to know, sort of the emotional side of what you guys do. Tell us more, Wimpy's obviously contributed to this through your location that you have down there. Tell us specifically, into more detail, what you guys actually do accomplish for local residents at Affordable Homes of South Texas and how many people you're able to help each year.
Well, the organization is a pretty good size organization. We're doing probably 100, 120 homes a year, which is basically new construction, so we start from the ground up. As I mentioned, we have about 300 families that apply with us for each month. And
yep.
So there's a big process that we go through, and there's always a waiting list, and we go through that pretty quickly. But the impact is really, it just depends on each family. But let me give you one example of a crisis that occurred and how we were able to respond.
Yeah.
So about a year ago, there was this huge storm that came into town. It was a result of a hurricane that went into Mexico and came across the mountains in Mexico and actually impacted our community to the point where there was floods all over the place. The day after, it was on a Saturday, the Monday came and we were getting phone calls all over the place. Hey, my home is flooded. Do you have any resources that you could use? And so we created a little fund to help families to get a wet vac, to get a tarp for the roof, to mop out the floors, to pull out the carpets, all those things that need to happen when there's a flood. And so we were able to provide $300 emergency grants to families that needed something done right away. It's not the long-term solution, but then FEMA came in and provided those long-term fixes. We were able to get them in a situation where they were living in at least decent conditions for the meantime. And through the Blimpy operation, we were able to extend the word to get the word out that not only are there funds available, but if you'd like to donate, here's a way to do that. We came up, we designed a cup that we use for the fountain drink machine that has our logo on it.
Yep.
And what we did is we sold it for $2, and then the refills were 25 cents. All of the profits or all the proceeds from those went to this emergency fund. And so we sold a bunch of cups. And the neat thing is that they use those cups and they bring it back for the 25 cents, and that's continuing to fund our next disaster fund when that's going to happen, because there's always something happening. But the
sure.
Cool thing is on the other side is they carry those cups in their car. So they're trying
yep.
to think, where do I go to lunch today? Oh, yeah, well, look, I got this cup right here. Let's just go here. So it's worked out pretty good.
No, that's huge. So basically, of course, there's a direct correlation to how this Blimpy store helps Affordable Homes of South Texas, as, what you guys make at that store goes to the nonprofit that you lead. But there are mm-hmm. so many more benefits to owning this store that are outside of that direct, revenue stream that you have an opportunity to not only to cross-promote, to showcase the Affordable Homes of South Texas logo and what you guys stand for in tandem with the stuff that's branded Blimpy at your stores and mm-hmm. gives you an extra way to discuss, fundraising opportunities and donation opportunities with some investors on the outside or some people who are willing to make a big donation. And get you in
exactly.
touch with corporations in the local area who might be willing to donate to you guys, and of course they know that their catering orders are going that way too. So that's fantastic.
That's right.
So I guess
yeah, absolutely.
My question to you is, if I'm a aspiring franchisee out there, someone who is interested in launching my own business and wants to do something that has a higher purpose. You know, if they have a tie to a specific nonprofit, or if they just wanted to go down this path, is this a path that you would recommend to others, whether or not they're super tied into a nonprofit, or do you think it's much more effective if they have, you know, as intimate a relationship with a nonprofit as you do?
Well, I think it would be kind of unique situation that they would have to be in. So, you know, for example, in our situation, you know, we own the franchise that also essentially owns the nonprofit, that runs a nonprofit. Probably not too many opportunities like that. I have spoken with several of my nonprofit colleagues, and some of them are very interested in this concept and perhaps doing similar things. And so that's a whole other world within the nonprofit community. But on the for-profit side, and those business owners that are thinking about doing something and giving back as well, there's all kinds of opportunities. You know, we have, for example, we have once a month we have what we call a day of giving, so that a percentage of the profit of the profits of sales that day go to help a family that has a situation. Normally, it's a cancer patient. Just the last one, for example, she passed away as we were starting the campaign, the Day of Giving campaign. But it gives the family an opportunity to get some funds together for medical expenses, or in this case, funeral expenses and final expenses. From our perspective, it helps because it gets the word out. They're going to go tell their friends, hey, on this date you need to go eat at the restaurant. But it provides a higher purpose, and it does. You know, it's not going to be huge amounts, but it's a little bit here and a little bit there. And I think anybody could do that. You know, most restaurants have some kind of giving back program. But I think if it was expanded and we were able to do more, we certainly would. And that's just one of the many examples of ways that I think folks could give back.
Sure. What other advice or quick hitting ideas come to mind for you if you had the next couple of minutes to talk to a prospective franchise owner who's looking at Blimpie or looking at another franchise concept it's their first foray into franchising? Any advice or any lessons you'd share with them from your first couple of years doing this?
Yeah, I mean, I think one of the things that I've learned is as much as you think you know about things, you really don't. I've learned quite a bit. You know, our organization, we are fortunate enough to have an in-house CPA, in-house IT, in-house legal, you know, all of the services that are important for running a business. We had that already. Most people wouldn't have that. So you need to do your research. You need to find some professionals out there that can tell you, that aren't afraid to tell you, this is a crazy idea, don't do it. And if you still want to proceed, then make sure that you have the answers. So, for example, I use the example of following the students into the subway shop. That was just the beginning. It took months of our research and our planning, and we actually walked around the whole community and did surveys. So it took us a long time. There's a lot of research that's needed. Basically, you got to do your homework. Otherwise, you're not really sure what you're going to get into.
That's right. No, there's nothing more important than a thorough due diligence process with finding the right franchise opportunity. You know, assuming I've done it right and assuming that, you know, my professional and personal skills and tastes and needs are applicable to the Blimpie franchise model, you know, do you have anything top of your mind about the team that you've worked with and about the brand itself? Why should I go with Blimpie as opposed to some of those other competitors you mentioned, if it's the right opportunity and there's a quality location available for me?
Well, I think right off the bat, as I mentioned, my experience has been from the very beginning, extremely supportive, willing to do whatever is necessary to accommodate what we're trying to do. You know, and I think the good thing about Blimpie is they're not the big guys, they're not the tiny guys. They're right in between. You're able to talk to somebody and actually get a decision made, as opposed to, well, we got to go to somebody else. And so they're just the right size for folks that are looking to start out, not really sure about how to run this organization or how to run a restaurant. They're just the right size to get you an answer.
And 50 years of success doesn't hurt.
Absolutely.
What's next for you? You know, are there other, I guess, unique or innovative things you've thought about to help generate more funds for Affordable Homes of South Texas, more potential business ownership ideas in mind? What's on the horizon for you?
Well, so we've created a couple of other entities. I mentioned the construction company and the the real estate company. We also have recently created a property and casualty insurance agency, so to provide home insurance, car insurance, life insurance, those type of things.
Yeah.
And so that's just another addition to our social enterprise model. But as it relates specifically to Blimpie, we've looked at a couple of other opportunities. Some haven't worked out. We've got a couple more that we're looking at that might provide us an opportunity to grow that portion of our entrepreneurship side. To once again, with a whole objective is to generate more revenue.
Of course. Well, if anyone is out there and has been inspired by this show or wants to know more about social enterprise and wants to pick your brain, is there an email address or anywhere else where they can get in touch with you?
Sure. So we have a website for our Blimpie operation that is tied back to the nonprofit, and so it's kind of a way to get into the nonprofit website through the Blimpie operation. So it's www.eon5.us. Eon5 stands for Esperanza on Fifth Street is the name of the LLC.
Gotcha.
And my email address is rcalvillo, C-A-L-V-I-L-L-O, at eon5.us.
Very good. Well, we appreciate that, and we're very excited to have you back on the show here soon. Unfortunately, I have to take off on you now, but thank you for stopping by, for sharing your story, and talking about your experience with Blimpie. We really appreciate it.
Great. Thanks, Graham. I appreciate it.
No problem. And that's all for today's Blimpie Subs Franchise Show podcast. Very fun talking to Bobby about social enterprise and how Blimpie's performing down there in Weslaco and what it's doing to work toward a greater cause. Great, great, great stuff. Thank you guys all for joining as usual. We'll be in touch or back on the air in a couple weeks with our fourth podcast, back to another Kahala executive to give you more insights on what's going down at the mothership. But, most importantly, keep your eyes peeled on the next week or two to blimpiefranchise.com to access the new franchising-specific website that will be launched by the Kahala folks, and we'll include a franchise opportunities blog that will have these podcasts, blog posts, news articles, and much more from, franchisees like Bobby, area developers like Pat Conlon, who we had on last time, executives like John Wycheck, who we have in our first episode. Very, very, very excited to keep this rolling. Some great stuff coming down the pike, and we appreciate all of you for joining us, and good luck finding the right opportunity for you. Should you want to know more about Blimpie Franchise opportunities, certainly keep your eyes peeled for blimpiefranchise.com, and certainly connect with us on the podcast, Blimpie Subs Franchise Show on Blog Talk Radio. Definitely here to help if you guys are interested in anything else. But without further ado, I appreciate your time. Thank you very much. We'll catch you next time on the Blimpie Subs Franchise Show podcast. Thanks, and have a great day.